Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto and hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. And on the line, we have a junior musher calling in from Pennsylvania, soon to be in Alaska in the coming week or so. Her name is Taylor Steele. She's 15 years old. Taylor, how's it going?
Hi, Robert. I'm doing really good. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. How's the weather in Pennsylvania?
Oh, well, right now we have rain showers right now. It's usually pretty sunny and cold, but raining right now.
Whereabouts in Pennsylvania are you?
I'm in south central Pennsylvania in a little town called Hopewell. It's in
Hopewell.
Bedford County.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. As I said, you're 15 years old. You hope to be in Alaska in a week or so. What's going on for that trip?
Well, I'm planning to race Junior Iditarod 2013 along with the Willow Junior 100, and I will be racing out of Mitch Seavey's kennel, and we leave in just a couple days, a little over a week actually, and pretty excited for that. And then I got started mushing about 7.5 years ago, so I've been doing it for quite a while.
So how does one mush in Pennsylvania? When people think of mushing, they think of Alaska, they think of Canada, they think of lots of snow, lots of dogs, lots of space. How do you do it in an area like where you live?
Yeah, actually, it all depends on what part of Pennsylvania you live in. I live in a very country-like place in Pennsylvania. Everybody has cows or horses and farms and everything. And a lot of land, if you own a lot of land around here, it's easy to train. We do get snow in Pennsylvania. And we just train dogs just like anybody would in Alaska. You just have to accommodate the weather and the temperatures. It's a lot different. And we get started a little bit later than what normally Alaskans would do with their training schedules. And there's also mushers in Maryland and New Jersey that I know of.
Wow.
In Ohio and New York and everything. So, yeah, it's really fun back here, too. It's not as cold, so.
Right. So you're no stranger to Alaska. I know that you've worked with the Seavies for the last couple of years, couple of seasons at least, at their Iditarod operation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, it was my first time this August, and it was actually really, really fun. Like, I got to be with Seavey dogs, and that right there was just awesome. I look up to, like, Iditarod mushers as the most famous people in the world, and I stayed with Dan and Shirley, and they are such an amazing family. Like, it was just awesome, like, greeting the guests and getting to see them and learning them and educating them in the sport of mushing, and getting them up and close personal with Alaskan Huskies. Like the Seavies, they have Alaskan Huskies. It's not your, like, Siberian Huskies, which is what a lot of what other people have, too, and to get them to know the difference between those two. And then just going on the tours and the rides and playing with the puppies and educating them, it was really fun.
So you can't get much more closer to mushing than the mushing family itself with the Seavies. They've been around since the very beginning of Iditarod. Tell us about that family a little bit. We've had on Dallas and Mitch here on the show this past summer and fall. Tell us about how their operation is compared to others that you're familiar with.
Around here it's a lot different than what it is up there. I mean, I don't know much about Dallas's kennel because it's a completely separate kennel from Mitch's, but Mitch lives in Sterling, and his operation is in Seward, and some of the dogs are there, and some are at his kennel. And not every kennel has a kennel tour, so it's a lot different in, like, rotating dogs and everything, and they also have their glacier tours. I haven't been there yet, but I will go there someday soon. I know that. And I don't probably the other kennels up there, they're just different dogs. Like, they're just different people and different dogs.
Right, right. So you're planning on doing the Junior Iditarod, the Junior, or the Willow Junior 100, possibly the Tassimino 100. That seems to be a big jump from what you're doing in Pennsylvania. What's the longest race that you have down there?
Well, actually, I've been mid-distance mushing for 2 to 3 years now. I've been doing sprint mushing for a long time, and I went to Alaska, and then I switched to mid-distance mushing after talking to Danny Seavey about the Junior Iditarod, and after that, I got into mid-distance mushing. I got more dogs and different dogs and just started training farther and farther, and I fell in love with it, so I thought it would take me pretty far, and here I am racing Junior Iditarod with Seavey's dogs. It's pretty amazing, actually, and
It is amazing. Like I said, that's one, if not the top mushing families in the world. When anybody talks about mushing, they talk about the Seaveys, especially the grandpa of the Seaveys, Dan. You got a chance to meet him as well?
Yeah, I stayed with him and his wife Shirley when I was in Alaska in August. He's quite a guy too. He's a nice guy, real funny, and good to get along with, and he actually took me mushing with his dogs, his own little kennel that he's got at his house, and it's pretty cool to say I got to mush with Dan Seavey.
That is awesome. You know, when I had Mitch on a few months ago, I asked him if, during Thanksgiving dinners, do they sit around and tell mushing stories instead of talking about football and stuff. Did you hear all those stories when you were there?
Actually, we did celebrate Dan's birthday. I got to celebrate his birthday with him. That was pretty cool. No, they don't really talk about football or anything.
Only mushing.
We watched mushing videos. I noticed Mitch talks a lot about dogs, and that's kind of like my dream to someday be around people who talk about dogs. Like, I know my dad, he just, 5 minutes of me talking about dogs, he's like changes the subject, and it's only me who mushes in my family too, and I'm first generation musher, and it's just a lot different compared to people who don't mush. I mean, it's all about dogs, and it's great.
It becomes a lifestyle, doesn't it? You know, I tell a
lot
of people
that really does.
All the time.
Yeah.
So tell us about, you said you're heading up in a week or so up here to Alaska. Tell us about that trip. Are your parents coming along? Are you flying up? What's the deal?
We were planning to drive up and leave December 7th, but some plans have changed, and we're going to fly up now. It's only going to be me and my dad doing this, and we're going to fly up on December 13th, and we have a house rented in Alaska right now, so we'll stay there in Sterling, not too far away from Mitch's kennel, and then we'll train there.
And how long are you going to be up? Until just after Junior Iditarod, so early March or so?
It's going to be until March 13th.
March 13th. And when is the – I know that you're participating in the Willow Junior 100. My daughter is also participating in that in the first time. That's in mid-February. When is the Junior Iditarod?
The Junior Iditarod is the week before the Real Iditarod, which is the last weekend of February.
Okay. And what about that other race that you're thinking about doing, the Tustamina 100? When is that?
Conway's going to race that. I don't think I'm going to race that. I think you have to be maybe qualified to race that race. I'm not too sure about it because they took out the junior race.
Okay. So who is Conway for folks that don't know?
Conway is a 2012 Junior Iditarod champion. He's Mitch's youngest son.
And how old is he?
He is 16. He just turned
so
16.
A long generation of mushing there. You have Conway at the youngest with 16. Then you have Danny and Dallas, and then Mitch and Dan. Who am I missing there?
Tyrell is Mitch's other son, too.
And how old is he?
I wouldn't be one to ask.
Okay. All right.
Know.
So
He's like 2 years younger than Danny, I'd say.
Gotcha. So you're heading up here to Alaska in a couple of weeks, and you're going to settle into the operation there in Sterling. What is the plan? How are you guys going to start with training? You know, how's the switch going to be from what you're used to in Pennsylvania to Alaskan mushing?
Right now, it's going to be the temperatures. I know it's a lot colder right now in Alaska than what it is in Pennsylvania. That's going to be my biggest switching from different places of the world. But as far as training goes, I don't know how they have it set up yet, but probably a certain distance of mushing and then resting and then go the same distance and then rest again and then switch it up.
You know, here in Willow, we're here at the Iditarod restart, and I think this is where the junior Iditarod ends. It hasn't been above zero in a long time. We've been sitting right around -9, -10 at night for a month or so, but we don't have any snow hardly at all, just a couple of inches. Last time at this year, we had almost 2 feet. Are you prepared to come up here and run on ATVs and, you know, carts and that sort of thing, or is that what you're used to?
Actually, last year we didn't really have much snow, and all my races were canceled, so it was pretty much all training on ATV and no snow. And the previous years when I was sprint mushing, we had a lot of snow, and so we didn't four-wheeler train as much. So it will be a little bit different, but I've used to going, I've gone 60 miles with my own dog teams and even farther and shorter, but I also had some help with my friend from that, too.
So you're 15 years old, and you've been mushing for about 7.5 years. What got you started in mushing? How did you get involved, and how did you catch the mushing bug, as we call it?
Well, you know, 7.5 years ago is a long time, and I don't really remember too much about how I got started. Iditarod was on the TV one year, and I was watching it, and I said, "Dad, wouldn't that be cool if I got to that?" And he said, "Well, we could always try." And I suppose I got my first dog sled that Christmas, and then I also got a puppy the following Christmas, and also the movie Snow Buddies. And after that, that puppy was actually a golden retriever, and Snow Buddies kind of fit in with it. And it got me mushing ever since.
And how many dogs do you have now at your place?
Right now we have 11 dogs. I did have about 21 here. We are leasing dogs and selling puppies at the moment.
Okay, all right. So with those 11 dogs, are you running an 8-dog team, a 10-dog team? What are you doing for training?
It depends on how far we go. Usually I would do 6 to 10.
6 to 10, and how many miles are you doing now?
Right now we haven't been doing too much because I leased out most of my leaders. And the leader that I have left right now is 11 years old, so we haven't been going more than about 10 miles right now. Plus the temperatures, it hasn't been too cold yet either.
So here you come up to Alaska. You're going to have that shock of not only the cold weather, but, you know, a dog yard of a heck of a lot more dogs than you have now. What's going to be your job, so to speak, at the kennel, other than training? Are you doing kennel chores, or do they still do tours? What are you doing when you get up here?
When I worked in August at Iditarod, there was like 85 dogs there, and we would feed them and scoop them and do all the chores, and I assume that I will do chores there as well in the winter, too, with my dogs and the other dogs. I'm up for it. I don't have any problems with doing that.
Do you get a set number of dogs? You know, I'm not familiar with how a operation like that works. Do you get a set number of dogs that you work with while you're here, or do they pick and choose as the races draw closer? Because I assume they're also training for Iditarod and that sort of thing if Mitch is going to run again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitch has his dog team, and then his handler has his dog team, and they're also training my dogs with Conway's dogs, and then Conway will get the first pick of junior Iditarod dogs, and then I'll take the next group of dogs. And I also, I think I was told I would get some to pick from the team that he didn't choose for his team. Right now they're training. I assume right now they're still on ATVs, and they're still picking dogs, I suppose.
So we're talking to Taylor Steele today. She is calling in from Pennsylvania. She's 15 years old and coming up to Alaska to chase that dream of the Junior Iditarod, the Junior Willow Junior 100, and whatever other races she can get involved in. What is your biggest challenge to coming up into Alaska and, you know, being involved with such a big name in the mushing community?
Well, really, it's just awesome because like the Iditarod mushers, I don't know if they do realize or don't realize that people my age, younger than me and older than me, look up to them as, like, awesome people. Like, I find, like, Dallas Seavey more famous than Brad Pitt at this moment, you know? It's just, that's the way I see it. It's just really exciting to be saying that I get to mush with the Seavey team because I don't think I could get better props than that right now. Like, that's just awesome. And then the biggest challenge would be probably, like, they're a good dog team too, and my bloodlines and their bloodlines are completely different things right now too, and having dogs that I don't really know yet and also getting to know them, that's going to be really, really cool too.
Are you prepared?
Other dogs.
Are you prepared for the 180-mile race that the Junior Iditarod is? I believe it's 180, right?
It's on average 150 miles. That's what I've told. But, yeah, I'm totally ready. It's breaking down into, like, the 75 segments or so, I believe. And, yeah, totally ready for that. I've mushed mid-distance before, so.
So tell us about your parents. What do they think about this crazy dream?
Well, my dad, he totally supports me in everything. He pays the bills, the vet bills, and all the kennel stuff right now, and he's all for it. And my mom, she's a little skeptical of the idea going out and mushing in the Alaskan wilderness with moose, and whereas we don't have that here in Pennsylvania, and just being 4,000 miles away from home. But most of my family, yeah, they're totally for it.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do have a younger sister and an older brother, but they don't mush.
They don't. What do they think about it?
Well, my brother, he kind of thinks it's crazy, and but he thinks it's pretty cool too. And he just doesn't understand how I could survive in the cold like that. But the gear would keep you warm.
And what about your friends? How do they think about it? Friends in school, friends in the around town. You know, like you said, a lot of them are farming families with cows and horses and that whatnot. What do they think about it?
Well, I'm actually cyber schooled, but at my public school, the friends there, they don't really say anything about it. Like they just say, you have a lot of dogs. Like every time they come over, they're like, are they going to bite? Because they were barking and everything. They're excited to see people. And I take them on mushing trips, and they're like, this is crazy. It's fun, but it's crazy, they say. But they don't really say too much about it.
You know, I was telling my daughter.
Not who they are.
I was telling my daughter the other day, she's 15, same age as you, and a sophomore in high school, and we spoke early in the season about you're pretty much tied up until mid-February or so when the racing happens, and until then you don't have much of a social life. How do you fit that in?
Well, since being cyber-schooled and not going to a public school every day, my social life is pretty limited as it is right now. It's all for the dogs for me, really.
It's all for the dogs. And, there you go. I need to tell her that same piece of advice for sure. It's all for the dogs. So you're going to head up to Alaska. Tell us about where you're going to live. Sterling is there on the Kenai Peninsula. It's a little bit of a drive to Seward. It's on the other side of the peninsula. It's about an hour and a half from Anchorage. And then about another hour and a half past there, up here to Willow. Tell us about Seward and, you know, tell the people that don't know that area what that place is like.
Well, Sterling is about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Seward. Sterling is very, very pretty. The parts of Seward that I've been in, which is around Mitch's house and everything, I haven't, like, really been into a town of Sterling, if there is one, actually. But it's very, very beautiful, and I just think everybody is so nice in Alaska. So, but Seward, Seward's like a little town, and then also Iditarod is there too, and it's also very beautiful because there's the ocean and the mountains, and Mount Marathon's there too, which is pretty awesome.
Seward is definitely more of a tourist destination than Sterling is. Lots of cruise ships come into Seward, and of course, the Seavies and Iditarod get a lot of that traffic up at their kennel there near Exit Glacier, which is pretty much at the bottom of the Exit Glacier there. And then Seward, not a whole lot going on there. A little bit to the south of that is Saldatna, which is a major town there in the Kenai, but not a whole lot going on in Sterling. Pretty small town, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
So when you head up to Alaska, tell us about the gear. I know you mentioned that on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere that you said that that's going to be a big challenge for you. What is that challenge, and how are you dealing with it?
Like in Pennsylvania, it doesn't really average negative 30, 40 degrees here. I know my very first dog race, it got up to negative 20 in northern Pennsylvania, and that my $40 boots and my $40 gloves from Cabela's wasn't really doing much good for me. The gear is a lot different from what I've been used to, so I've actually just bought the boots that I need to run in. And then we just got the gloves. But as far as parkas goes and everything, I'm not too sure about that one yet.
So you got the big Northern Outfitters mittens, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And those are the hefty ones. Those aren't those $40 ones from Cabela's for sure.
No, actually, I bought them off of a girl who apparently never used them, and they are clean like she would have never used them. And I bought those for a cheaper price than what they're listed for on the internet, so I made out pretty good there too.
So tell us about the camping and all that experience. You said you've been a sprint musher for a long time. Has it been pretty much a seamless switch from sprint mushing to mid distance to almost now long distance mushing with the junior Iditarod?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot different. You can go out with a 4-6 dog sprint team and be done within 20 minutes, depending on how far you're going. And with mid-distance mushing, you're on the back of a sled for hours upon hours, and then you have to rest your dogs for the certain amount of time and take care of them. Dog care, I think, is important to me and the dogs, and it's a lot different.
It is a lot different, and you know that it's a really big switch, not only for you but for the dogs. You know, a lot of people try that; they try to switch their dogs from sprint mushing to distance mushing. I know you're not using your own dogs in the junior Iditarod, but you're training them as if they were, right?
Yeah, that's going to be really awesome. And working in Iditarod, I know some of the dogs' names. It took me 3 days to learn 85 dogs' names, so. I love dogs, so it's going to be an amazing experience in getting to know other dogs. It's going to be pretty cool.
So tell us a little bit about that. You have listeners listening all over the world. We have a lot of people that listen to our show in Europe. Tell us about that experience when you walk into a yard with 85-plus dogs. How is that? Describe that for us. What is the sound like? You know, just tell us about that in your own, you know, kind of your own words about how it is to deal with that many dogs at one time.
Well, to put it in a nutshell, it's pretty loud. You've got dogs barking and happy dogs, and they whether you're going in to feed them, doing chores, or just going in to pet them or do anything as you're walking into an 85-plus dog kennel, it's a sight too. Not very many people around Pennsylvania, especially, would see 85 dogs in one dog lot. It's a lot of dogs, and it's awesome because there's just like all these excited, pretty husky dogs, and they're just dogs and racing dogs, and that is just totally awesome.
You know, one of the questions that we always get, and you know, we've had on a couple of junior mushers here in the last couple of weeks, and we get a lot of questions about this from kids, is they want to compare their house dog to a sled dog, to an Iditarod dog, to, you know, to a race dog. Tell us about the differences, at least in your opinion, on how these guys are so much different than the golden retriever that sleeps on the couch and watches TV with you.
Well, one thing is their diet is definitely not the same as a sled dog, I would suppose. I would assume that most of the dogs in houses are being fed like 20%, 18% protein dog food, whereas a sled dog, it gets like 30, 35% dog food, and then you throw in your meat and your fat and everything else in with it. And plus, if your dog is not a sled dog, you also have to train it. I mean, you can't like hook up a dog and say, hike, and it's going to go for you. It takes a lot of training to get the dog to be a sled dog.
And their attitudes are different, aren't they? I mean, these guys were literally born to pull, and they know exactly what's happening as soon as you get out that harness, don't they?
Yeah, especially like when I go up, hook up my dogs, they just start barking because they know it's time to go run. And they just know what to do once they're in the harness the first time. It's just like magic a couple other times after.
And you know what's amazing is they can go for 50, 60, 70 miles, rest a couple of hours, and be ready to go again. Many humans can't do anything like that, can they?
No, sled dogs are really amazing creatures that got to put on this earth. It's incredible what they do and what their will and power and destiny is to travel and run.
So Taylor Steele is our guest today. Taylor, we have a couple of minutes left, about 2.5 minutes left. I want to make sure people can find out more about you. Do you have a website, a Facebook page? How can people learn more about you?
Actually, I have my personal Facebook page, but I do not have anything else at this moment, but I will probably have something up within the near future. And I could give you a link to that if you'd like to share it on the website as well.
Yeah, send it to me an email, and I'll make sure we put it on your show page when it airs here in just a couple of days. Taylor, anything else? I know you're on a very big journey here in the next couple of weeks. I know you're very excited to do so. Anything else you want to let our listeners know today?
Follow your dreams. I mean, if you don't follow your dreams, you never know what could have happened. I know if I didn't follow my dream, I wouldn't be getting to say that I am mushing with Mitch Stevie's dog team. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
You just need to follow your dreams and do what your heart tells you to do. And don't give up on anything. It gets hard at times, definitely gets hard at times, but don't give up.
There you go. And what's the plan? You know, you're going to be done here in March. Are you planning on doing Iditarod when you're able? What's the plan? What's the big picture?
You know, it's going to be wherever my life takes me. I want to do a lot of things. I don't know if I'm going to go to college yet. I want to travel and explore and just do everything that I can while I'm young. And I'd like to do Iditarod someday, yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Taylor Steele is our guest, 15-year-old junior musher heading up to Alaska next week or so to come up here and run with the CVs in the Willow Junior 100 and the Junior Iditarod in February and March. Taylor, it was a pleasure. We'll make sure we keep in touch, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Robert Forto. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.